Anyway, Niall, you caught up with Sean McCormack recently.
I did. I was over at an event called the Global Bird Fair, which takes place every year in the county of Rutland in the middle of England. And it's a wonderful gathering of all things to do with birds and nature. So you've got tour companies there, you've got publishing companies there, conservation groups, crucially, lots of talks going on. And one of the star speakers was our good friend, Dr. Sean McCormack, who's spoken to us several times on the programme before, of the Ealing Wildlife Group, a borough of London or district of London, where he and his colleagues there, wonderful volunteers, are doing great work doing things like reintroducing the beaver back into London.
We made a documentary about it.
Yeah, well worth a listen.
Broadcast right here on RT Radio 1.
We'll put the link to that up on the website.
We should do, yeah.
And also, so I saw him there and I went to his talk and I asked if he'd spare a few minutes to chat to me, give me an update, and he did. So he gave us very kindly an update on what's going on with the beavers and also some really nice insights into some of the work that's going on in Ealing in relation to birds of prey. It was great fun chatting to him.
Yeah, great to see you again, Niall. We met last year here, didn't we? I'm here to talk about some of our Ealing Wildlife Group projects. The beavers obviously have taken a lot of the limelight, but this is Bird Fair. So I'm talking about our bird projects, things like our peregrine falcons, barn owls, hobbies, kestrels, and some of the smaller passerine birds like skylarks and things as well that we're trying to look after in the urban landscape in London.
It's the right audience for it, isn't it? Because everyone here shares a common interest in birds. I love it that you can just, you know, having your lunch or sitting down for a coffee or something, you can just start chatting to the person next to you because everyone here has a common interest.
Yeah, massive common interest. It's great. And the diversity of talks, you know, from bird conservation around the world and in here in Britain, and a couple of little Irish mentions as well. You've been flying the flag very well. So yeah, it's great. It's a really, it's an accumulation gathering of absolute bird nerds.
Which I proudly count myself among their number. No, absolutely. And it's really, really good. But you've spoken on the programme before about the Ealing Beaver Project.
Yes.
And it's been a great success, getting great traction, great attention here at the Bird Fair. I know you gave a presentation about the Ealing Wildlife Group and its work, updated people on the beavers here. You've been involved in lots of podcasts. Can you tell the listeners of Mooney Goes Wild, what's the update? How are they doing?
Yeah, oh, well, the last time we spoke, you know, I was already astonished at the rate of change they'd made at Paradise Fields, the place we put them into. But this year, the place has been really turbocharged, Niall. We've had an incredible explosion in the invertebrate diversity, so how many species of invertebrate we have now in that wetland, but also the abundance, the sheer number of insects coming out of the lagoon, for example, feeding, you know, clouds of flocks of swifts, and our reed warbler numbers are up, you know, various breeding birds are all booming because of the insect biomass on site. So that's been the really, really step change we've seen, with the beavers having been in situ for more than a year now. They've, you know, they've been at it, hard at work, modifying the landscape. And the outcome of that increased biomass and improved habitat and increased water quality, all of the things the beavers have been doing, is that really noticeable species that we can count and see and visualize very easily, we're now starting to rack them up. So we've had 7 new bird species on site since the beavers arrived. And we've had 2 or 3 bird species that haven't been recorded there in several years come back. We've had 2 new bat species recorded. We've had 1 new amphibian species breeding on site. We've had very noticeable insect life like dragonflies and damselflies, great diving beetles, caddisfly larvae on the brook. Things that we just never dreamed would be there ever. But certainly not yet. The beavers, just the rate of change there is amazing. And right now, you know, it's not Irishman weather, is it, Niall?
It's swelteringly hot. I'm dying here. The temperatures we just can't even think of in Ireland.
Yeah, and in London, which is, you know, a microclimate in England, it's like very, very hot. It's 32 degrees consistently last week. I was melting. But Paradise Fields, unlike all of our parks, which are brown and scorched and dry, you know, and looking like autumn time, end of summer, real end of summer, Paradise Fields is lush and green and wet and cool because the beavers have actually re-diverted the stream that runs through the site into the drying up section of woodland and re-wetted it. They've built an existing dam up and out across a path. We can no longer go down that path. It's underwater and the brook is now running in a totally different direction to how it was a month ago. Incredible stuff.
So by putting back a missing piece of that puzzle, this whole ecosystem has been restored. It's incredible. All these species are back because you've reintroduced the beavers there. So there's one species that's brought in a whole load more. It's as simple
exactly.
as that.
And that's why they're called a keystone species, an ecosystem engineer. They have got a really exaggerated and magnified effect on that landscape that no other species native to Britain has. You know, they've really, really fundamentally changed it, introduced mosaics of habitat, different complexity, different structure. The reed warbler example is a good one because Whereas before we might have had one or two calling males singing there in the reed bed. Now we've probably got six, if not seven, distinct territories. And what that's brought in, I couldn't believe it. About a month, 6 weeks ago, I was down there in the evening. And what did I hear calling? A cuckoo. And that cuckoo is probably flying over Ealing going, there's nothing for me here, but heard this abundance of reed warblers, which is one of its host species, to lay its eggs into the nest. And this cuckoo went, hang on a second, there's great opportunity for me here to bring in a female cuckoo. And we're hoping, now maybe it won't happen this year, but we're hoping that out of one of those reed warbler nests comes a baby cuckoo sooner rather than later.
And I couldn't let you go without asking you about something that I found absolutely fascinating about another species you're working with there, which are the barn owls.
Oh yeah.
Tell the Mooney Goes Wild listeners about your barn owl thruple.
It's getting very salacious here, isn't it? Yeah. Talking about sex and all this thing. But basically, yeah, the barn owl story is that we have barn owls now breeding in the borough because combination of things. We've put up nest boxes for them. There's a scarcity of nest boxes in the urban landscape, or nest cavities in the urban landscape. We've changed our grassland management with the parks to bring in small mammals like field voles and now our harvest mouse reintroduction. And we've started ringing the chicks, so they started breeding. And last year, amazingly, we went to one of the boxes and our licensed bird ringer pulled out an adult barn owl, which is unusual enough. They normally spook from the box, and put it into his ringing bag and then pulled out a second adult barn owl, and we examined the adult barn owls which weren't ringed, and we found that both of them had brood patches indicating they were females incubating eggs. And he had a rummage around in the box and couldn't figure out what was going on because there was a clutch of eggs in one corner and a clutch of young chicks in the other. And we thought there's two females raising young in this box. And then we went back 2 weeks later to see if the clutch of eggs had hatched and pulled out another barn owl unringed, which was the male. So we had a threesome of barn owls in the one box, which probably indicates that there's not enough nest sites. So the two females had to make do with the one male and the one nest box in order to get some chicks away. And I'm glad to say that the later female got one chick to survive. Her other chicks probably got eaten by the larger chicks in the opposite corner of the box. But I'd looked it up. There was one described paper in Mexico that described polyamorous barn owls. And there was one record from the Essex Wildlife Trust that saw it happen once, but it didn't complete because one female drove the other female away. So yeah, we've got modern city living polyamorous barn owl thruples.
Just before I let you go, tell me please about Dusty and Freddy.
Dusty and Freddy, yeah, they're our famous peregrine falcons. They're nesting on Ealing Hospital in a nest box originally that I put up on a ledge on the 10th floor. We've since given them an upgrade because they have bred there, and we've put in a webcam that you can watch on our Ealing Wildlife Group YouTube channel. They're called Dusty and Freddy because we put to a public poll the naming of these two peregrines, and they're named after local music legends. Dusty Springfield, who grew up in Ealing, Mary O'Brien, good Irish family she was from, and Freddie Mercury, who went to art college in Ealing. So as I said to you, Niall, I jokingly say that I think they're the only gay icon peregrine falcons in Britain.
I love it. Well, listen, Sean, it's lovely to see you.
Great.
Thanks so much
you.
For your time and for updating us on how it's all going in Ealing.
Yeah, thanks. Great to bump into you, and say hello to Derek and Aina and Richard as well.
I absolutely will. Thank you.
Thanks.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart, and now you leave me. Love of my life, can't you see? Bring it back. Don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me.
Oh, the wonderful voice of Freddie Mercury. I can't believe he's dead so long now. He died in 1991, and they've been talking about him a lot, and Queen and their performance at Live Aid, because they celebrated, or it celebrated, 40 years recently, and how wonderful a performance they gave. If you were watching it, as I was, and most of us were, sitting there watching it when Queen came on, the whole thing came alive. And then I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody when it came out. I was in Manchester. And I wasn't sure what to expect, but the opening scene and the bars, you know, music that was instantly recognisable, really touched my heart in a way that music doesn't often do. And that song he's singing there, Love of My Life, that features in the movie from one of their concerts in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Oh, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. They just don't make them like that anymore. I don't care what anybody says. I know musical taste changes. We all get older, but some things have longevity. And Freddie Mercury and Queen and their music will last the test of time. Anyway, more details about Sean McCormick's work, and hello to Sean, can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney.